What is your arrangement, first of all? Are you guys, do you work separately?
No, we both do everything with everyone. Yeah. And yeah, I would honestly.
That's such a fun way to do it.
Joanna always says, you know, we're not poly, we're not swingers. So our relationship isn't open, but it's open for business.
Okay.
So if there's a record button to be hit and there's something to be filmed, we pretty much.
So if it's business, you've completely disconnected from it. You can watch her be with another man right now in front of you. If it's business, you could be behind the camera. You could direct it. You'd have no issue.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the first.
He's getting turned on right now. Look at him. He's fucking the blood's rushing to his head.
Because if that was the case, that would be weird. That is what, like, finding the perfect part.
I'm not sexually aroused by it, but it also does not offend me in any way. I'm just like, it's more. Oh, sick! You're getting yours. You're getting off. Like,
dude, having a big dick rules, huh?
That right? That's because it's all my insecurity.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfucker? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
We're Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you f***ing ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Yeah, baby boys. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. It's a Wednesday. It is the Real Ass Podcast. As always, with the international superstar, Zach D'Amico. What's up, dude?
Happy Wednesday, pal.
Happy Wednesday. Doing a little bit of pre-tape. Got a wedding this weekend in Florida. So right now, I'm on my way down there. Am I in the live chat? I am in the live chat. Hello, myself in the live chat.
Oh, hi.
Everyone say hi to me. We're going to have a great show today. I'm very excited. Brand new podcast on the Gas Digital Network, Just the Tips podcast. Both of the hosts, ladies and gentlemen, welcome from the adult industry. Both of them, I've seen them naked. I have orgasmed to both of them on separate occasions. Didn't even know they were together. Separately, I have masturbated to both of your work. Ladies and gentlemen, Joanna Angel and Small Hands are both on the show.
Hi.
Love to hear
Hello.
It.
Love Good. I'm so glad.
To hear
I'm
it.
So glad you've orgasmed to us both.
I have.
It's very awkward when we go somewhere and someone has only orgasmed to one of us.
It is uncomfortable.
Because then you feel like they're picking favorites.
No, yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Shannon, I don't think that my soundboard is working. I'm not getting any sound out of this. This means that I might have kicked something out.
Oh, I hear it now. I think something just switched. I swear.
There we go.
Oh, hell
was everything we just said silent?
No. It was just my soundboard. It's very important. It's an important part
it
of the show.
It is important.
So, yes, I have, I'm fans of both of your work throughout various degrees. So, when I masturbate, I go through random things. Like, I'll go into phases, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I'll get into like alt chicks for a while, right? And then sometimes I'll just get into fucking things. So, I've jerked off to you. That you and another dude that has tattoos, you guys double team chicks very often. And I've gotten.
That's my boy, Owen Gray.
Owen Gray.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
We're kind of known.
It's his husband.
My most talked about, most celebrated, most like whatever stuff is the movies I do with him.
Your work.
Even more than me alone is we're known as a duo.
Yeah, you guys double team chicks and having a great time.
I think Owen is like your wife and I'm your husband, really, at the end of the day.
Enough.
Which that's actually
that it's very interesting. You guys you're a couple in porn. You hear this sometimes. Obviously, recently it went viral with Adam 22 and Lena the Plug, and he let, you know, her go get, and it was such a big viral moment. And I think it was because it was maybe in the hip hop industry and they were just like their minds were blown.
That whole situation made me feel very out of the loop or something, like, or like almost like an old person, like talking to a Gen Zer about TikTok or something, where you're just like, I don't understand why is everybody making this a big deal?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really very far from that community. Adam and Lena are friends of mine, but
cool.
I've never even listened to No Jumper or anything. Like, I know them personally. I don't really know much about their business, aside from the fact that it's very successful, you know, especially the No Jumper world. I know that, I know about their, you know, their Plug Talk,
Of course.
Is what I know. But I'm not really part of that world or that community, which might make me very out of the loop because that's a very huge world and a huge community. But when everybody made a huge deal out of it, I was so confused. I was like, but...
Well, you do porn.
What happened?
That's what you do. When you do porn, you have sex with people for money on camera.
Yeah.
And I think my assumption is the emotion from the work side is removed from it. You can just go to work. You could have fun, and it could be a great thing. So I think that Adam and Lean, it seems like they really leaned in and almost trolled everybody. And made it a bigger deal than it was because Adam was acting like he was bothered by it, and he would do these interviews. And he might have had some honest moments.
Like but she also I never feel like did. They had a plan. Yeah.
I agree. I think it was a little more deliberate than, and I think they wanted to create a viral moment. Yeah. And if Adam was just like you, with any porn, most porn couples, which is like, yeah, she's going to work. Duh. If that was the attitude, it wouldn't have went viral. It
she also
just been
never
whatever.
Worked with anyone else, and you know, and I think it was talked about.
Everybody
on the
loves
show.
It first, you know.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I
it's
know.
Like the same reason girls save like the anal scene for right. you know when there's a dip, then you bring out the new tools.
You get your boobs done, and there's a boob reveal.
There's different ways to do many different ways to do a career.
And you guys don't have any jealousy at all with each other. So if she goes into because I am, but maybe and I might be ignorant. Maybe you have a different arrangement now. I have no idea. I know sometimes people get together, and now it only becomes girl-girl scenes, or you only work together. What is your arrangement, first of all? Are you guys, do you work separately?
Both, no, we both do everything with everybody. Everyone. Yeah. And yeah, I would honestly.
That's such a fun way to do it.
Joanna always says, you know, we're not poly, we're not swingers. So our relationship isn't open, but it's open for business.
Okay.
So if there's a record button to be hit and there's something to be filmed, we pretty much.
So if it's business, you've completely disconnected from it. You could watch her be with another man right now in front of you. If it's business, you could be behind the camera. You could direct it. You'd have no issue.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the first...
he's getting turned on right now. Look at him. He's fucking the blood rushing to his head.
Because if that was the case, that would be weird. That is what, like, finding the perfect
part. I'm not sexually aroused by it, but it also does not offend me in any way. I'm just like, it's more... Oh, sick! You're getting yours. You're getting off.
Dude,
like,
having a big dick rules, huh?
That right? That's because it's all my insecurity.
Well, and that's part of it too, because I'm very secure with what I bring to the table.
Right.
What the fuck do I care if someone else is also good at fucking?
Yeah.
Like I'm fine. You know, like it's cool. Like.
I think that's a big part of it as well. Where you're just like, you know, you have the security in yourself. And also, you're just like, it's become such a business for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That it's like, now I'm assuming when you're intimate with each other, like it's passionate and it's fucking like, or is there something different? Or is sex not even porn to you guys at this point?
I mean, when you do this sort of big, loud, for the world sex for a living, maybe it's a surprise, maybe it's not. But a lot of the times when we're just fucking at home watching fucking Netflix, it's like 5 minutes. I'm being real lazy. Like I'm not even going to do any cool positions.
Yeah.
Because that's just the persona isn't there. Well, it's just us being people and regular people sometimes fuck. Sleepily, sometimes fuck crazy, sometimes fuck quickly.
Pretty similar to any couple that's been married, you know.
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 7 years and together for 12 now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we've been together a long time. And, you know, of course, you know, there are times where maybe there's a friend involved and we're having a threesome for funsies. And that might sound...
That's what's up, nigga.
You know, and to some people that might sound like, you know, so crazy. But that's not something we do every night of the week.
Do you guys do both? Do you do the devil's threesome and the double girl threesome?
We've done the two guy, one girl threesome on camera. We've never done it off camera.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a special thing. And if that would ever happen, like it should be on camera. Like it would be rude to not share that with the world. Right. You know? Like that's like a really sexy, like... That's like an act that
a
woman's getting double teamed. Yeah. Like the world.
So yes, I went on a DP'd my wife. With
I went
man.
On a date with a porn star once, and I won't say her
only
name.
Once?
I went on a date with a few porn stars actually. But one time I went out where I just met this girl. She was actually very well known in porn. Like really, like was considered one of the best at one time. Mm-hmm. And it was very funny because we were on the date and we're just like talking, and I was like just trying to make conversation. I was like, so what's the coolest thing you've experienced, you know, in your career so far? Thinking she's gonna be like, oh, I flew to fucking Japan once on a private jet and fucking got to eat sushi with the she was like, oh, the first time I got double penetrated. She was like, it was like, I mean, I didn't even realize it was even a feeling that's that good.
It's a religious experience.
And I remember in the moment, like, kind of gulping, being like,
you're
okay,
like, I'm gonna have to call a friend.
I don't know how to, how do
you're
I even
like,
deal with this?
You're texting all your buddies.
Such a different, like level, like to a normal person. That's
what's
a lot.
Normal?
That's a lot. But you,
what's
you know, to
normal?
To a what
I know what you mean.
A civilian.
Yeah, a civilian, yeah. Right? People hate that. In comedy, yeah. Comedy fans, if you say civilian, that is like they fucking hate it. But I think in every industry, people use that term because
in porn, everyone who's not in porn
is a civilian.
Right.
Exactly. So, but to a civilian like me, the idea of some dude banging my chick in front of me, it fucking really like it just.
Why does it have to be in front of you?
Just banging my chick in general. I think about my girl banging a guy in high school.
But what if? But okay. But you're thinking of a girl banging a. You're thinking of your girl banging a guy. So in your.
No, I'm getting angry
I'm
thinking
say,
about it. So don't even say
right,
it again,
no,
Joanna.
I get it.
God damn
like,
it.
In your. I'm so sorry. Do you need to punch the wall or something?
Don't talk about my angel that way.
You have an angel.
She's my angel.
Angel.
Oh, sorry, continue. What were you saying?
I'm an angel.
What were you saying? She's a beautiful
woman.
I'm just
saying, I'm sure she's beautiful, and I'm sure she's not getting double teamed by anybody.
Oh,
right
she
now.
Might have been. That's the problem. I'll never know. Because she knows not to be honest with me. I'll leave her. But, bitch, if you've been double teamed, just so you know, never tell me. Anyway,
in this fantasy, not fantasy, in this nightmare of yours, part of what's making you uncomfortable is that everybody in this scenario just was driven to make this happen by sheer horniness.
Right.
I feel like
she
maybe,
needed multiple penises.
Right, right. But this only happened because everybody was so horny and so attracted to each other. It had to happen behind your back. Like that sucks. Like yeah. That sucks. But like, it's different when it's like a bunch of people were showing up to work. Like this yeah. Guy wanted to bone your
and
girl just as much.
It was negotiated ahead of time. Like
yeah.
how much for the DP? What's your rate? Yeah.
Even if everybody had the greatest day in their life at work, like you would still rather be on your couch eating a sandwich than being at work. You know, like a comedian, even your best show, you love doing it.
Right.
You know, but like if you were given the choice to get paid whatever that same amount of money is to yeah. Stay home and eat pasta or do that comedy show. Like,
I don't know. I like threesomes better than pasta.
I will say that, no, look.
Even now.
It's an interesting conversation.
Okay, let's say you've been a comedian for 15 years. You've
been
on the road for a while.
I've been a comedian for almost 20.
Okay.
So I will say right now,
this is an interesting
point that you're
making. If somebody was like, you get $1,000 to do nothing or $1,000 to do the greatest comedy show on earth, what would you genuinely
pick? I choose the comedy show. And I think this is the difference between people that fucking truly love what they do.
Okay.
Or if it feels like work. And I'll say, today I have to do three podcasts.
But you can love what you do.
I did a podcast right before this for an hour and a half. We have this podcast. And then I have to do another podcast tonight. I was talking to my girl today and I said, today it feels like work. And it shouldn't. Usually my job luckily doesn't feel like work. I'm genuinely doing what I love. I get to talk shit with my friends. Right. I haven't met you guys before. Well, we met, but we never really had a conversation. Having a super interesting conversation. Like when it comes down to it, I'm very privileged. And when I'm in it, I get to go like, oh, I really, really love it. I understand the point that you're making because
yeah.
Today I'd rather be making money sitting at home
okay.
Watching TV
and
with my
chick. And that doesn't mean you hate your job.
No,
and
not
that
at all,
doesn't
of
mean
course.
It's traumatic. And that doesn't mean that you don't, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, I do love my job. I've been in porn for 20 years. That's longer than most people. There's no way I'd still be here if I didn't love this industry and getting railed by a bunch of people all the time. And, you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago.
Marry that woman.
Yes,
too late.
If you would have asked me 10 years ago, someone's going to give you $5,000 to get gangbanged and someone's going to give you $5,000 to stay home, I totally would have chosen the gangbang.
Yeah, yeah. But at
today,
this point,
I would choose to stay home. I would still do the gangbang.
Look,
I did
honestly,
a gangbang not that long ago. I had a great time.
Honestly,
I
get
love,
gangbanged
you know,
for me for $5,000 to stay home, I'd probably choose to stay home.
At age 43, I would choose to stay home. You know, I got to be honest. It's a podcast.
So Shannon, we talked about our producer, Shannon. She's been double teamed for no money, for nothing, for
no other reason
except for the fact
virgin.
That she wanted two cocks at the same time.
No,
not double penetration, though.
Not double pen, but you would have done it.
Wait, was this before she was a virgin?
Yes, this is a long time ago.
That is so, okay. The more I learn about her, the more
that's super
I think
hot.
I get yeah. so
it is kind of, but I get angry
so
for
hot.
Shannon because, like, she's my sister.
Right.
I think about it like she's my sister, but she was with a man and they invited a friend over. And that was that. He wanted to watch you with his friend, right, that's Shannon?
Yes, and it happened twice. It
happened twice.
Yeah. What?
Fun.
Shannon.
Sounds hot.
Howard, I don't get it.
A long time
Were you
ago,
blessed
Joanna.
By like a sex fairy?
Shannon.
And then a sex like devil that took
that's,
all your sex
that's a
away.
Good point.
I don't like what's I feel like I was brought to this network to help her get laid.
Why don't you
by
bang,
the right
why don't you bang fucking Small Hands and Joanna, Shannon? They would do it in a fucking heartbeat.
It'd be an honor.
We'll take very good care of you.
They would yeah. First of all, I've seen fucking Small Hands' giant cock. He's got a fat one.
I have not. It makes me very
Shannon,
uncomfortable.
Shannon, pull it up
to,
right now. Not on the screen. I want you to see it and I want you to react. Shannon, go to the
Blame
bitch booth.
Shannon.
Let's go to the bitch booth right now. And Shannon, I want you to first of all do a dance for our guests. Do a little dance.
That's the dance?
We used to have two female producers.
I love this
so
dance.
It's not as hot as it used to be
I
a
really,
lot hotter.
I love this dance. It's great.
Shannon, can I want you to react to Small Hands cock right now.
This makes me very uncomfortable.
In real time.
This
shut up. Grow up. She signed a thing so she can't actually sue us for anything that makes her uncomfortable.
Interesting.
All the producers
that's,
here, they
that's
can't
sue. Illegal.
Yeah.
I also have... I think it is. I also have a...
Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side.
You know, I have a molded... a mold of
let's
my
let's bring
cock.
It in for her.
So maybe
it- I have a mold of my cock and I gave it to Shannon. You remember at Skankfest?
Yes.
I put it on the table right
okay.
in front of
well,
you.
Well, this is sold in stores and it's actually one of the number one selling
I can show you
cocks
that.
In the world.
Damn.
So you know if
oh there
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, there I am. All 9 inches.
Wow.
Nine
yeah.
inches.
So
my penis is like literally so it's not half the length. But it's half the size. Like, if you were to put it in, like, a cup of water and see how much it displaced, you would displace twice as much water as my
fair,
dick.
Fair.
If both our dicks were in the wild, mine would live on yours and eat bugs off the helmet.
I measured it like
that
when we
visual
first started dating.
Is, yeah, yes. anyway, yeah, cool.
Shanna, is there any path to having a threesome with Joanna Angel?
What about just
and
a twosome with me?
See, I don't think she's into women, but I think she could be convinced.
You could also just do something with me and Joanna could like direct it. You know,
I could be
so
there.
Uncomfortable.
She could just
I'm
be
here.
First, it's a really that's a lot of penis for somebody who hasn't had sex in so
Shannon,
long.
You don't take all 9 inches. You take 4 inches of it, and then
yeah, you're talking to a professional.
Yeah, he's going to be out, you know, away from you a little bit.
I'm pretty good with foreplay, Shannon. I, you know, we'll work into it.
That's a great idea.
This is making me so uncomfortable.
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank Waterboy for being a supporter of today's show. I love Waterboy. If you guys need hydration, Waterboy has you covered with zero sugar and over 3 times the electrolytes of liquid IV, 9 times the electrolytes of Gatorade. If you're drinking this holiday season, Waterboy is going to be your saving grace.
Absolutely. Not only does it help with hydration, it helps with nausea, the anxiety of the hangover, and fatigue. It comes in multiple flavors. I've been drinking it in the morning after a party, and I got to say, I love it.
And they also have post-workout hydration as well, which is absolutely great. If you guys want to stay hydrated this holiday season, save 15% at waterboy.com/RAP. That is waterboy.com/RAP for 15% off right now. All right, where were we? Let's real quick, because we're just getting moving here, boys. Let's get our plugs out of the way. We like to do the plugs nice and early so people fucking are listening. Obviously,
me.
Check out your podcast, Just the Tips podcast, right here on the Gas Digital Network. Anything else you guys want to plug?
Check out our podcast, Just the Tips, and then you can check us out on Instagram.
Love it.
Joanna Angel on Instagram.
Do you guys
Angel
have like
on
an
Twitter.
OnlyFans?
Yeah.
OnlyFans.com/smallhands.
Yeah.
OnlyFans.com/Joanna Angel.
Yeah, go support their OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Get weird with us.
I love it. That's fucking awesome.
I
man.
Do
Good
it all.
Yes.
You can see everything.
She's a wild one.
Maybe one everything. Day you'll see a video of the two of us and Shannon on there.
You never know.
I'm telling you right now, I'm all about
Yo,
this.
Yo, you'd be able to quit
Honestly,
your job.
Yeah,
that's a good
you
point.
Made an OnlyFans, you know?
Shannon, I told her, I've encouraged her to get an OnlyFans and quit this fucking job years ago.
She hasn't, you know, or you can do both.
She's just
or you can do
she's
both.
She's just being hot for free.
Yeah, like,
I told her she could start
sex.
Showing her feet. She won't do any of this shit, dude.
Me and Joanna will sign up for it, Shannon. We'll
we will.
We'll be your first paying
yeah,
fans.
We will. We will sign up for it.
Zach, what are you plugging?
Oh, just check me on Instagram. Zach, it's not funny, and I got a bunch of dates I'll be announcing soon.
Yeah, the only thing I have really left for this year is December 7th. I'm going to be at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles doing The Depraved. So far, we got Shane Torres, and we're going to have a bunch of amazing comics on it. So make sure you grab those tickets. They're up right now at the Comedy Store's website. They'll be on my website soon. But a lot of other live dates coming up. If you go to lewisofskanks.com, I have an entire tour, the Meaty Ogre Tour, starting in January. A bunch of the links are up already, but in January, I'll be in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, Chicopee, Massachusetts, Key West, Florida. Then I got Toronto coming up, Buffalo, Saratoga Springs, Poughkeepsie, Wisconsin, Tampa, Des Moines, Iowa, Providence. I mean, all these fucking dates are coming up. This is just all before March, baby boys. So let's party. Brand new material, brand new tour. It's as dirty as it's ever been. Scott Chaplin supporting on most of these dates. So grab those tickets at lewisofskanks.com. Make sure you check out both of my other podcasts, Legion of Skanks and The Regs, both available everywhere you find podcasts. And make sure you subscribe to the new Gas Digital, gasdigital.com. Use that promo code RAP. Get a 7-day free trial. Unlock thousands of hours of podcasts that are not available anywhere else in the world, all ad-free, all uncensored, all in one place. Plus, you get access to the Racist Live Chat. There's an extra episode of the Real Ass Podcast every single week that you can't get anywhere else, exclusive for Gas Digital subscribers. So make sure you go and support that, because why not get the entire show? Okay.
He's really good. He's a professional.
I'm pretty
good. Did you see what he just did? We should be doing that on our show, but we never do that.
I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, we need to get better.
No, you guys are good. You're figuring it all out. You guys are doing great. It's a great show so far.
Oh, thank
you. Just so you guys know.
All right, but we need to do that.
I have a very high standard.
We should take notes.
So Adam 22 and Lena the Plug, they have a new reality show. We kind of touched on this the other day on the show, but you guys are here, and I think you have more of a relevant perspective on it. I guess the angle on this is it's a show on YouTube where they're trying to find a suitor, and then at the end they're picking one guy and they're going to double team Lena, right? Is that it?
I don't know anything more than what I've seen on Insta.
I would know just as much as
did the first
do,
episode
yes.
come out, Shannon?
I believe it's this coming Monday.
Wow.
I commented on it today, and I said, are women allowed to enter this competition?
No, it's 10 dudes.
I know.
It was I just like to hit on Lena, you know.
It's a weird thing because there was that one reality show, that one porn reality show, which was great. I jerked off to that show. I mean, every scene, what was it called?
I can't remember. Wait,
Sex Factor?
Yeah, I think so.
Kieran was a host. Kieran and Asa and Lexi Bell.
It was essentially the real world, but it was sex, right?
And they were in a house. I never saw it.
It was great. It was available. I think it was on X Videos. It was presented by one of the main sites, and you can get the entire thing. It was actually fairly enjoyable as a thing, and OnlyFans sort of killed a lot of what was appealing about a thing like that, right? So
because nobody cares, you know, the whole contract studio, you know,
this all that.
And also there's like, that was like the winner got to get into porn. Now you can just get into porn.
That is 100% the truth, but it's also like from the fans' perspective. So from the performer's perspective it doesn't really make sense. A reality show like that would make sense. But which it might, because there's a platform behind you that's pushing you. Like, I wouldn't have just randomly stumbled upon these people's
OnlyFans. The exposure,
only
love
fans.
Factor is good.
But from a fan's perspective, like, what I liked about it was that they were, like, amateur, that they were, like, you saw, like, their personality, and it was, like, this reality side to it. Mm-hmm. And you saw it happened. I'm 41 years old, so I have been jerking off to porn since porn was, you know, since you have to wait fucking an hour to download a picture
on
AOL.
We grew up together.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm 43.
This is from this generation. Yeah. I'm almost it's fucked up because my generation's like addicted to porn because I went from finding a magazine in the woods and like hiding it under a tree to having, I mean, virtual reality, a mask on, and I have fucking 10 girls sucking my dick. Like, it's fucking wild where it went.
From waiting all day for one photo to load.
It's so overloaded in such a crazy way. So I almost feel like my generation is weirdly like addicted to porn. But we went from sort of like porn stars like Jenna Jameson, who was like a star. Like it was like almost like the same way there was a movie star. We were like really into like these chicks. And there was only like a couple dozen of them. Like back in the day, like there was a handful of
when
ones.
I first got in the industry, there were only a handful.
There was only a handful. Yeah. And you didn't really get much of who they really were. You would see them in a big movie like that. I remember I had the Pirates DVD, which was like a big, like a huge classic production. The biggest, they spent over $1 million on the production.
Or Jenna James was even Private Parts and it was like a big deal.
Yes. But then it went to like the gonzo style porn and then the interviews with the girls in a hotel room and they're interviewing them and like, and then that they were like, that's what we like. This is what guys were like, oh no, no, that's what we like. A girl that's never been in anything
that
before.
I kind of came into porn sort of like at the end of
that
the Jenna Jameson era and the beginning of the gonzo era. So I kind of came in like that, but we middle went, sector the, of it.
You,
yeah.
You saw it went to like a cycle just into more of like reality, 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 reality. And now OnlyFans, I think the reason it's so valuable and the reason people love it is because it's that same foundation, that same time when you fucking saw that girl interviewing on the couch for the first time, the casting couch or in the hotel room or whatever, you're like, oh, this is a real person who's not like, and I think OnlyFans sort of like took that and it was like, oh, you get to like interact with these girls, you get to have a conversation. It's such a different thing.
Well, it's so much more than just being hot anymore.
It's not you clicking know, on it, play. It's
having a whole persona that's engaging, that is attractive to people, and that opens the doors for many different types of stars. But it also means that the era of I'm hot and I can fuck, That's not quite enough.
It's not,
you know,
as
what I
important,
mean?
Yeah.
People want that perceived connection, or they want to feel like, oh, you know, small hands, that this is the shit he does. This is his shtick. And then when I'm engaging with it, I get that, whatever that may be.
It kind of combined, you know, porn and social media in one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in some ways, it actually, people who I know have been in porn, it's funny because like I'm like old in porn, but then there's like a generation older than me, you know, like the girls that I'm in touch with that were older when I got in, you know, like the one generation above me, they feel like porn has made a full circle, because in some ways OnlyFans reminds them of like the way back in the day, like phone sex stuff, you know, like it's like this.
Or they would do like, they would go to like strip clubs. I'm sure you were at an era where you,
I still do it.
People do it, right?
Where you'll dancing and touring.
Yeah, you'll go and they pay you X amount of dollars to be at that strip club for the weekend, and you're dancing, and you know, and then your fans get to come out and get to meet you, and
those
get
are
to, like,
fun trips.
I'm sure that has to be awesome. Yeah. Like it has to be pretty cool.
Yeah, because it's fun. I've been doing that for a very long time.
Yeah, that's Do you do privates? Okay, let's take a quick moment and thank YoDelta.com for supporting today's show. YoDelta makes incredible Delta 8 THC products available, I think, 50 states legal at this point, Zach. But either way, it gets shipped right to your door. It's cheaper than weed. What is there not to love?
And you guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp that can be legally shipped to most states, if not all of them by now, and gets you really high. YoDelta.com has a great mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. But let me tell you, this Delta 8 stuff, it works, and these products should be taken responsibly.
If you want to get high this holiday season, YoDelta has you covered. Just go to YoDelta.com, use that promo code GAS, G-A-S, save 25% off. It's already affordable. Save a little bit more cash. Why not? YoDelta.com, we got you covered. All right, where were we?
What do you mean?
Like, do you have sex with fans for money?
That's illegal.
Okay, never mind. No,
that?
You would never do that. Okay, fine.
I would
fine.
Never do anything
she
illegal.
She never does anything illegal. Sorry.
Now, all those hotel rooms at cons are empty during the day, Ross.
I don't know.
Because I
heard her.
Look, like, you know, we are friends with a couple people here that work with the network.
Right.
And there are ways for fans, if you're interested, not with you, obviously, but with other gals that are out there, to have sex with your favorite porn star. And it's not that expensive. All things considered, it's not that bad. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on from this conversation.
I heard about that.
Joanna said, I've heard about it.
Ding!
All right, so what is this story? Let's move on to some of these stories. All right, so I accidentally ordered a $2,000 drink on New Year's Eve. My husband left me at the bar. Shannon, what is this story? $2,000 drink. That's fucking crazy.
Okay, so this woman claims that, so they're staying at this like high-end hotel in London, and she saw a cocktail that had Cristal champagne, sprinkled gold leaf, and a 30-year-old whiskey. The price tag, what she thought, was $23.56. When they got the bill, it was actually $2,356. So she showed her husband and she's like, oh my God, I made a mistake. This is how much it is. And he left her to like figure out the bill.
What?
On her real ass dude. I like it. I like it. You know what? Fuck it. Real ass dude of the week.
Wait. Okay. He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
Okay. There's some holes in this story because I...
Yeah, she ordered $2,300.
Well, okay. I have been guilty of doing some stupid bougie shit because I'm 43 and in porn and have no children. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's, you know, those things like there's a $5,000 hamburger on a menu in Vegas somewhere. I've never done that. But at Serendipity in New York, you know, they have, like, the world's most expensive grilled cheese. I mean, it's, like, $300.
Yeah,
but
that's crazy,
you
too.
Actually, you have to call them. And then they have a sundae that has, like, gold stuff in it. But you have to call them ahead of time to get that stuff. They don't just, like, have it there. You know, like, you have to, like, if you're going to do that, you have to let them know. There's also, no way they just put that on the table.
Like,
there's no way it was, like that they just didn't double check before they put this $2,000. That's what I'm saying. Because I have ordered the world's most expensive grilled cheese. And it's a production. Like, they bring it, it doesn't just come out like every other grilled cheese comes out.
What happens if you
order... And that was with a $300 grilled cheese.
What happens if you order the drink, though, and you drink it, and you just refuse to pay? What are they going to do?
But there's no way they just brought out a $2,000 drink without questioning.
I would like to see the menu placement, because I feel like that would have its own little box.
Yeah, it would be its own with thing.
It wouldn't just be on a list of cocktails.
Exactly. With like a moved decimal.
But sometimes you go to like a bougie-ass fucking place that has a $2,000 drink on the menu. It's the type of place that wouldn't even have the price listed.
No, because the few places I've done this, like, and I know, because there's... I've been to that one restaurant. They put it on the menu with, like, you know, like you would think, a nice little box around it, it's like its own section of the menu.
Yeah.
So everybody who goes there can, like, think about it and then be like, maybe one day.
I'm just more bummed that they're pouring. If you have a 30-year-old whiskey, what are you doing putting gold flakes and shit in and like, champagne, like,
for that
I want
reason. Okay.
To taste a good 30-year-old whiskey on its own. I don't really.
There's just no drink in the world that's going to be worth $2,000 regardless. So this is like for a Kanye West,
it's
who just money
flex.
is just no, like,
right.
Nothing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it exists because once in a while you get a whale walking in your door who says, "I want to order one of everything on the menu. I want the most expensive thing on the menu."
It
only exists for that. It's just simply a fucking money trap for some idiot that wants to flex, right? So I couldn't imagine, even like I like to drink wine, I like to drink good whiskeys, but like, I can't fucking tell you the difference between like a $300 bottle of wine or a $20 bottle of wine. Like, honestly, taste test, I couldn't tell you what is fucking better. And I drink a decent amount of wine. I drink good wine all the time. I don't think that anybody could fucking tell the difference. So it just seems like a massive waste.
At some point it's just status. It's just for clout.
On one of our first dates, it's actually kind of funny. I remember it was one of our very first dates, and Aaron took me to, like, you know, pretty nice restaurant.
And then, keep the small.
Small.
Don't call him Aaron.
Oh, no, Aaron's small.
Fine. Yeah,
Mr.
Hands.
That's a different video.
And I remember he said something that no man should ever say.
I fucked up.
Yeah, we were like, oh, let's get some wine, and he was like, yeah, and he was like, whatever bottle you want, and I was like,
whatever bottle you want.
Yeah, and I said,
you fool.
He said, you choose whatever you want, and I said,
it was a fatal error.
I said,
she didn't even look at the price.
I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, literally whatever you want. And I'm like, maybe you should look at the menu first.
It was
and
like
see.
Our second date. Yeah. And I'm out with the Joanna Angel.
And
I'm
I
not
was
gonna.
Like, are you sure about that?
I'd be the exact guy. You set a standard. Like, we're idiots. We set this standard in the beginning. Yeah. It's the opposite. That should be a special occasion, not that's just what we do.
And I said, okay. I asked three times. I said, are you sure? Like, you can pick the bottle. You can give me a price range. And they were like, no, whatever
There's
you
nothing
want.
Nothing less sexy than him giving you, saying you could buy any bottle up to $125.
Yeah, I know. It was not. I said, okay. And I picked, it was a $400 bottle. Then
yeah,
I remember
you
when
should
the,
have known.
When the bill came.
Also, this is when, before I was even in
porn,
I was like in a punk band and a bartender. So I wasn't rolling in dough.
Right.
And I remember between the wine and the dinner, I got the bill and it was like $700 something. And I was just like,
You were like, you maxed out the credit card.
I was like, I think I barely have enough.
I know, you put it on a few credit cards.
But then I was
I did offer to pay. No. I was like, I had a good time tonight. I can pay for the wine.
You split it on multiple cards.
Yeah. I remember I was like, I will pay for the wine. I wanted to just drink this with you. I even tried. I tried to give my card to the waiter.
You gotta keep it sexy.
And he was like, no. And then the next day he was like, can we just eat in?
Well, yeah, because then I was like, we were supposed to hang out like for like a couple days. And I was like, I just spent all the money I had.
Yeah, and I was like, the next night he's like, do you think maybe we could just go to the grocery store and stay in tonight? And I was like, it's okay, Aaron. You're good. You're good.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, my.
You're good for a while.
I went to a place called Shinji in the city, which is like really, really good. Like great drinks, like really cool craft cocktails. They make. They have a cart. Like when you order the drinks, they have there's maybe four or five tables in the entire restaurant. You guys should, you would love it. It's really, really cool. And they bring the cart over to your table and they make the drinks at your table. It's all craft. Ooh. Really, really cool. One of the drinks they have is they call it the dirtiest martini. Mm-hmm. And they make a martini and then instead of an olive, what
someone
they do
jerks
is
off into it.
They have freeze dried olives. Mm-hmm. And they put them, and it's served on a glass mirror. So the and then they put the freeze dried olives is white in lines.
They're lines. Oh my god!
And you gum the freeze dried olives, and it freezes your mouth, and then you take the sip of the martini. It's really cool.
I want to do that.
But yeah, like they don't
do
have.
Do they also give you
the price? The price is super expensive, and the prices are like you can't even see them. It's really really dark in the place.
But I'm sure it's not $2,000.
No, but they had a $120 fucking hand roll that my girlfriend ordered the first time we went there, and I'm just trying to be cool with her. Like she was like, "Oh, I'll take a caviar hand roll," and I couldn't even see the prices. And then it fucking came out. They were $100 each. We ordered two of them. I was like, "Oh, you fuck!" It's literally two bites of food.
Right. But you know
two
what?
Bites
because of that. She's not going to get DP'd behind your back.
No, probably. You know? Or maybe she is.
She's going to remember that hand.
Maybe she knows what a sucker I am.
She's going to remember that.
Shannon, what is this chore calculator that's going to help you find out who's really pulling the weight in the relationship? This, me and my girlfriend need this right now because she's a little bit bougie as well. You know, she's fucking, you know, she's not.
It's easy to get carried away with
she's
that.
She's a professional dancer. She's not like.
Like a real dancer that keeps her clothes on.
Yeah, a real dancer. Well, barely keeps her clothes on. She dances for a Latin recording artist. She like travels all over the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but she's just not fucking like, you know, she's not a fucking motherly, like happy homemaker type. Mm. She's more like, you know, she's a hot chick who wants caviar hand rolls. So this is great. I need this chore calculator so we can figure out who's doing more chores at home. Mm. Show me, Shannon.
Okay, so it's this this place, Starling Bank, has the Share the Load tool.
Oh, they made a movie called that.
Share the Load.
Hey-o.
So you enter the initials, and then these are each of the categories. Then you can add other ones. And then you put how many hours each of you does with each thing, and then it calculates the percentage of who does more in the Whoa. Relationship.
Who does more at home or in your house, guys?
Why don't neither of you do chores and just hire a cleaning lady?
I would love to do that. I would love to just hire a cleaning lady, but in that case, I think we would have to share 50% of the financial responsibility.
You know, like, yeah.
What we do
we
is...
We split up the chores, but I outsource my chores to
Joanna
the cleaning lady.
Joanna does nothing.
That's not true. I don't do nothing.
Okay. Almost nothing.
It depends on
like,
the
week. I do the dishes. I do the laundry. I do the basic cleaning of the place. And then a couple of times a month.
She just disappears with a broom and mop. Yeah. Like, where'd she go?
Well, no. The two things Joanna does is she will, for like the deep clean, hire the cleaning lady.
I do hire
and she
a
pays
lady.
For it. And then the other thing she does, which actually is huge, is she cleans up the dog piss.
I do.
Like, you know, we have like this little rooftop patio where like if we have to take them, we carry the dogs up a fire ladder and they have nice. A little area to pee. And it's, we live in a walk up, there's no elevator. So getting a bin of dog piss from the roof down to this trash on the street is kind of a pain in the ass.
It is, and I take care
And that
of
is
it.
The one thing you do handle.
I take care
Which
of
is
that.
The grossest job of that.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I hire, a cleaning lady does most of the chores for me.
Yeah, that's
And I do most of the pet things. I walk the dogs in the morning.
What type of dogs do you have?
We have a Shih Tzu and a King Charles Cavalier.
Ooh, I love a King Charles Cavalier. Yeah. I really, they're so, that's one of the dogs, that's what Lillian has. Yeah,
they're dangerously cute.
They're so fucking cute.
It's very hard to have a dog that cute because they can really walk. They can run the house like very easily.
Who does most of the work?
Ours is we have a black and tan one.
In our household, she does like all of the laundry. I do all of the cooking.
I don't have a lot of time. When I used to have more time, I did more stuff. I used to cook all the time. I used to do a lot of laundry.
When we lived in California, you cooked. We had a kitchen that made more sense.
Yeah. I order the food.
That's she nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty busy now.
She's quick with it.
A lot of, you know, a lot of times I'm busy. I'm more of the dad than the mom. I make the money, you know.
I love it.
I just kind of show up.
I wish that was the case. If my girl just made all the money and I could just fuck her real good, that'd be fucking pretty goddamn amazing.
I think that's what every woman wants, really. Yeah. I think dynamics have changed, and I think every woman wants to be the one that works and has a man that does all the other stuff.
Kind of. I wish my girl fucking had that attitude. I really do. Because I think she just wants to fucking... I think she just wants to be taken care of deep down inside. Oh, that's it.
No,
just,
I don't want to be taken care of.
And I actually
if somebody does that, I get uncomfortable.
Because, okay, fine, I do the dishes. I do the laundry, big deal. Guess what I don't do? My taxes. I don't know. She handles the big kid shit.
Yeah.
And I handle like stuff.
Neither do I. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We have, you know.
We have a system.
We have a system.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Zach, I got to tell you right now, we got to talk about my favorite new sponsor, which is Backscape. Backscape.com. B-A-K. Leave off that last C for savings. B-A-K-S-C-A-P-E. They make the best back grooming product on the market. Usually, so I got these little unsightly back hairs on my back. I got to go to my chick and be like, hey, babe, can you shave my back? I can actually hear the sound of her pussy drying up when I tell her to do that. It goes...
Well, now you don't got to do that anymore, Lou, because with Backscape, you can do your back in the shower before you get dressed. Hell, you can do it at the gym. And most importantly, you can do it by yourself. It takes about 5 minutes to have a completely hair-free back.
I'm going
to
leave my girlfriend now. I have Backscape. I don't even need a girlfriend at this point.
What do you need her for? You got a hair-free back.
Backscape.com/RAP is the website. 25% off if you use the promo code RAP off of the Advanced and Deluxe kits. Once again, that is Backscape.com/RAP. BAKSCAPE.com/RAP. Use that promo code RAP for 25% off their Advanced and Deluxe kits. All right, let's get back into it. Let's see. I want my friend to be my sperm donor, but I'm worried his wife will say no.
Why do you want your friend to be your sperm donor?
I'm reading a story.
Yeah, that's no, okay. I thought you were talking to me.
I was like, well, because he's a good guy. Yeah. He's a doctor.
You shouldn't
makes
use,
a lot of money.
And his wife
chiseled jawline.
Yeah. That is weird, and his wife should be mad.
But I'm worried that my
if somebody asked Aaron to be a sperm donor, I'd be very.
Hold
mad.
On, let me read. Okay. I'm trying to
I'm
understand
sorry,
the
I'm
story.
I'm getting upset.
I want my friend to be my sperm donor, but I'm worried his wife will. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So this is a single chick. She has a friend who she wants his cum. And she's worried that his wife's going to say no.
Yeah, so she's 33 years old. She's single for a while. She
if
wants
some
to have
chick
a kid.
Wanted his sperm, she's like, you know what? He's the fucking man. He's awesome. He's a friend of his.
No.
Not having sex. Just wants his sperm. Just no. wants to be, she's going to jerk off into a fucking tube.
No way.
No way. No.
Dude, she can have sex with him.
You don't care about the sex. You just care about his.
She's not having his fucking baby.
Do you want to have kids one day?
Maybe.
Maybe. So that's it. So you want, it's just you're in his kid. You're not letting his sperm get out there.
No. He's go probably... to a sperm bank. Like, you know, and I think that's fine. That's inappropriate. Go to a, you know, like you can have sex with him. Most women, you can't have sex with their husband. You can have sex with my husband. You can't have a baby with him.
Yeah.
That's fair with me.
I would understand that.
I think if you're like a sperm donor.
I accept those terms.
You're not going to know where your sperm winds up. You know, that's like a different thing. You go jerk off and you give it
now,
to
if you have you ever donated sperm?
Not intentionally or not to my, not to my not, I don't, no, I don't think so.
Would you feel like a connection? Like if you donated your sperm to some chick and she had a kid, would you be like, that's my kid? I have to like...
I mean, I think
I guess
like,
it would depend on if I had to like see the kid, right? You know what I mean?
If it's a friend's kid. Yeah.
And if it was a friend, then it would stand to reason that I would probably interact and engage with the kid. which I think would be a little weird.
Yeah, once you saw the baby was born with tattoos and a huge cock,
I'd be like, also, oh, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
If there was a reality where, like, I guess I just never had to be a part of that life, then
I think how often I was willing to just come in strangers when I was younger. Like, I was just so willing to, like, didn't even know this bitch. I mean, I remember one time I had sex with a girl, like, this girl, she maybe has my child right now.
You would know.
Doggy,
relatively successful. You would have gotten hit up at some point.
this bitch was a fucking, like, just some chick at a bar. She didn't know me as a comedian. She just knew me as a fucking dude at a bar that she fucked in a bathroom and let me cream pie her. Never saw her again, never thought about her again. With me and this girl just went in opposite directions of the world. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What happened to her? That she let that happen to her.
Right. Well, happened to you? You're both guilty.
I'm fucked up. My mom used to hurt me. This is why I'm willing to cream pie strangers in a bar.
Did you grow up in New York?
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah.
Cream pie a stranger in a bar?
I just happened to. Yeah.
You cream pie a stranger in a bar? That's crazy.
You probably would have used a condom, right? You sounded like you would.
Right.
I mean,
I did a lot.
I know exactly what's going on in his head right now.
Well, no, I'm trying to determine if it was a stranger. Is second date a stranger?
No.
No.
Okay. Then I guess I haven't really.
I think. Are you from New York?
I grew up in the suburbs.
Okay, but you like hung out in New York in your.
When I was 19, I moved to New York City.
Okay,
so my entire drinking and adolescence and slutty years was all
like
New York
I was
City.
Here, then I was in LA, then I was back here, and I was here between ages I think 21 and 24 ish.
Yeah,
I had sex with a lot of strangers in bars.
Just strangers
they weren't
in
cream
bars.
Pieing me.
It Once in a like, while.
I was very into the act of going like down on my knees and like having it on my face, you know,
wow.
Like
because thankfully. Then you can walk back out into the bar.
Yeah,
with this
I was like into it. And I was
marry
like, oh,
this woman.
Look at me. I'm like on the floor in this dirty bathroom. It was like exciting for me. You
I
know?
Get I get it.
It wasn't like really. But I think I'm just saying back like in New York had this like thing about it where like people were just having sex in bathrooms.
Yeah,
it was like
really
happening.
Did you ever
normal.
Have sex?
It was
so
normal.
We're the same age. You lived in New York City.
Yeah, like it was normal.
Do you? I bet you. Normal. I bet you. You remember this bar because it's just.
No, which one?
I whatever.
Did we have sex in the
we
bathroom?
We might have had sex. Honestly, there's a chance
it's
we
my
had
kid.
Sex.
I have something to tell you. You creep by
Do you remember
me.
The bar, the Village Idiot, on 14th and 9th?
Go to that one.
Again. Oh, so it's the best to, bar.
We didn't
it's
have
the, the best dive bar in the fucking world.
Okay. What? Where was it?
14th and 9th.
Okay.
It's $5 pitchers of beer.
Oh.
There was one up on the Upper West Side called Yogi's, and then there was one called the Patriot down in the Financial District.
Oh.
They was owned by the same person, all these three bars. They were just shitty dive bars, peanut shells on the floor, and just fucking, I
always go to Lit Lounge. I still to this day I remember
sounds like you two were hanging on two different parties
yeah we were yeah. different I was definitely at the you know I don't know sounds like those are
yeah
I don't whatever
I was broke
different.
As fuck I was just like when you were a hot 22 year old chick I'm sure you just go to whatever bar you want to I was looking for a $5 pitcher of beer because I had $20 right. And I wanted to get a dime bag of weed two pitchers of beer and fucking drown my sorrows.
Fair enough.
Oh,
that was
sounds
it.
Sounds very sad. I mean, I have nothing but great memories of that time.
No. It was fucking. I spent my 21st birthday, at the Village Idiot, and then I at the end of the night, my friend bailed on me. This chick that I was hanging out with, and I just fell asleep in the garbage outside of the bar. Woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning with the garbage man waking me up. It was fucking wild.
I worked at a strip club in like Times Square. I worked at Stilettos. Which closed down due to there being too many drugs and I think escorting there illegally. It shut down and then it became Lace. And that is where Cardi B worked.
Hell yeah.
So I almost kind of worked with Cardi B-ish.
Nice. You could just say
it was years
her.
Apart
you
and a completely different club. But, you know, but in the same building.
Same building.
But the strip club, I worked until 4 a.m. and I would go out. Afterwards,
that's crazy. I'm such
Who
an old man. I'm in bed every night now by 10 p.m. every single night. If you see me out later than that, it's because I am on cocaine.
Ever.
Yeah. I get it.
I can't do it.
You
anymore.
Need it. You know,
but like the idea of like going out, like even just to a bar, going, like literally just to have drinks. Like I'll go now, me and my girl will go to a bar to have like cocktails.
Right.
But it's not like to be at a loud bar to be drinking amongst 300 people who are all being loud and not really able to like talk. Like that's borderline crazy behavior to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine wanting to do that. Do you guys still go out like that? Do you guys still party?
She parties more than I do.
I'm in what you call a midlife crisis. When we lived in LA, we did go to, we went to bed at like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we lived in the suburbs. And then when we moved, you know, for me moving back to New York, you moved to New York. Also, I do work for Liquid Death. A lot of times, like, I'll go, like, visit, like, some of our accounts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like work-ish related things, or they're just like events that I should be at, or like, you know, or I just felt like going out. But I will say I always will prefer to go to like a bar with food, you know? So it's like, okay, I'm going to eat dinner here and then have a few drinks after and then go home.
Yeah.
I think like, I like to go to bed at like midnight, 1 a.m. ish. Mm-hmm. Not like 4 or 5. I'll do that like a couple times a year.
My head hits the pillow. If we try to watch a TV show or a movie, I will be sleeping within 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
I get it.
Guaranteed. We'll spend an hour trying to find something on Netflix. We'll finally find something. And then as soon as we do it, I'm fucking out.
I got in trouble a few weeks ago for coming home at 8:30 in the morning.
Really?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
I lost the first fight so bad that I went and took a shower to think of new ways to argue out of it.
8:30 in the morning?
So I had texted at 5 on my way home.
Wow.
I walked in at 8:30.
I don't know.
What does one get up to at 7?
Was it
6
in New York?
Yeah. I think we were at
8:30. That's right.
We were at one bar till 4, and then they closed. And then we went to one after hours place.
Oh my god!
And then at 7, we went to another place.
No.
And that place unlocked the door, let us in.
Oh my god!
And we were doing tequila shots there.
I just remember like being like, ex.
I'm uncomfortable.
My son's mother. I would tell her that I'm coming home. I'd be like, I'll be home at 2. Right, and like it's 1:40, and we're literally waiting for cocaine. Right, yeah. like it's, there's no way. And then I'm just like sneaking in at like 4:35 in the morning. It's like the look on her face and how upset she. Like I feel really bad. I think about like how shitty I was. It's fucking. It's crazy.
But you had to go through that to be who you are now.
Yes, like, yes.
You know,
to
you
a certain
have to
degree.
Go through that. Like it's almost like. I feel like
I'm glad I have those experiences,
yes,
and I have those memories,
you know,
because I know the dark side of myself, and I know like there's no question I like this version of myself better. The one who's not puking into a toilet at 7 in the morning because I've ended up doing drugs all night. And I know just through trial and error, like it's not what I want. It doesn't make me happy. I ask myself, that's one of the things, like one of the things that I've learned later on in my life. Is I ask myself, does this make you happy? And very in all these situations, whether I could be arguing with a friend, I could be having a fucking, having a bad day, and I'm arguing with a taxi driver or something that's going on. I'm like, is this going to make you happy? Is the end result going to make you happy? And that sort of keeps me on the straight and narrow right now. But I think you're right. I think I needed to have my face in a toilet bowl.
You have to.
Exactly. What I don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if I didn't have all those experiences, if I didn't raw dog some fucking chick in a bar, if I didn't fucking, you know, go on drug benders for days at a time, I may, as I get older, I may go,
you
like,
would
fuck,
feel like you're missing something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, what, and like, even though those aren't good memories, they're almost like useful memories.
Right. And you you came out alive and you know that you don't need to do that. Yeah. I used to do a lot of cocaine, and then I stopped.
wait, why did your voice get all weird?
Because, like, it's
that's
like
a great,
embarrassing.
Great Dave Attell joke.
That's my
I used to do drugs, but that was way back there.
Yeah. Right. And then I stopped, obviously. You have to, and then I felt like after stopping for, I don't know, 10, 12 years or so, I would do it, like, every once in a while. I would do it a couple times a year, only to
remind myself
I
like,
don't
oh,
want to
don't
do
like
it.
This
and so the last time I did it, I think it was last year at some point, my one time a year that I did it, I actually wrote myself like a message that I keep in my phone just to be like, dear Joanna,
like, I do not like cocaine.
Yeah like here is how I feel right now after doing a line of cocaine, you know, and I just kind of wrote how I felt, and it was just like, I don't feel good. You know, like, wouldn't it be better to just be
with my girlfriend? I said it with my friends.
It doesn't feel good.
If you see me doing coke,
there's no reason to, you know,
just know that I have fallen off. Even if it's just one bump, and I could innocently right now, if somebody had cocaine right here, I could innocently do a bump of cocaine almost as a bit. Like right now, if we were like, all right, do a bump, would that set me off in the deep end? No, I think I could simply just do that, right? But if I'm ever choosing to do that, I've made a decision that I've just made a decision to be reckless. I'm not considering what's making me happy. I did not ask myself the question, is this really going to make me happy?
Yeah.
And if I'm not asking myself that question, that says a lot more about where I'm at mentally.
Right.
Right. And if I am asking myself that question, I'm in a good place mentally. And if I'm not asking myself that question, there's a reason that I'm ignoring it. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I haven't done cocaine in a few years. I did a little bit of ketamine at Skankfest. And I didn't like it really. I did like a dissolvable one under your tongue, and I was like, you know, I just don't really like being in a fucked up mindset.
Yeah, having
a couple drinks, smoking a little bit of weed, like that's sort of where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. You know, going off in the deep end. And I used to do it all. I used to do acid, mushrooms, ecstasy. You name it. You put it in front of me, I would have tried it at any given point, with the exception of heroin, because my mom had a heroin addiction, and I just had an aversion to it. But you know, I've done it all at this point. And once again, because of those experiences, now I know, like, hey, I just like to have a fucking little bit of whiskey. I like to have a little bit of weed.
A nice cocktail.
That's it.
I did what most responsible adults do, and that is get a prescription to Adderall. So, you know,
I did that too.
Do cocaine.
But here's what happened. I had a major cocaine problem, and then I started seeing a therapist, and I got an Adderall prescription.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you do cocaine and you feel normal, you don't feel jittery like everyone else, that's how you know you actually have ADD. Yeah.
It's funny you're saying this, because I've talked about this before, and this exact experience happened to me.
Where everyone's like,
so
wah!
I wasn't doing
I'm
cocaine.
Like, I feel chill. Like,
I wasn't
feel calm.
Partying and doing cocaine.
Yeah.
I would get a bag or a vial of cocaine and I would go into the bathroom by myself, and I wouldn't let anybody know that I was doing it. I would do it by myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't a social thing. It wasn't a partying thing. I would do it to kind of get normal. I wouldn't start chatting people up. I would just sort of be like...
You were self-medicating.
Yeah.
Because we grew up in a generation where ADD was not like...
And I have really bad ADD. Like debilitating ADD.
Me too.
And I got on Adderall, and then I immediately stopped doing cocaine. And I was on Adderall for the Vyvanse and a couple of variations for a couple of years. But I also turned into a fucking asshole on Adderall. I was really like high strung and jittery. And
you were taking too much.
I was probably taking too much.
Yeah. You were taking too much.
But the benefit wasn't worth the negativity from it. So I deal with my ADD now just by, you know, just... trying to manage it.
Drinking a lot of coffee.
Yeah, a lot of coffee.
I get it. We might have the same brain.
But yeah, like I put myself into work, you know, and I try to do things that I genuinely enjoy a lot. And it's a process. But yeah, I got off.
You give yourself structure for the day.
I try to.
That helps. Yeah.
I try to, but it's,
I know your brain.
Yeah. My ADD is fucking like really, really bad.
I really bad.
All right. Let's see. This is interesting. Mary Hamas bags pulled from Australian Kmart shelves. I guess they're giving away free hams for Christmas.
No, it was the bag to keep, I guess, the ham fresh in the fridge. You can share this image.
I saw this on John Oliver.
Oh, so it was Hammas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mary Hammas, not Mary Hamas.
Yeah. I think this wasn't just an innocent mistake.
Maybe. Yeah, people like to go viral. That's the other thing is like, so there's a lot of that in the world. It's a weird thing. This is what I've noticed recently. This is in the past two or three years.
In all fairness, if it said Mary Hamas and there was pork in it, that is kind of a big fuck you.
That does rule.
True. True.
Hold on. My fucking girlfriend, what is she texting me right now? No. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I got distracted. I apologize. My chick just my chick's picking up my son from school, and she had to get the address of the school.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of, this is what happens a lot. There's a lot of like trolling going on in like the media and like with news. Have you noticed this? It'll be like the New York Post, or it'll be like a newspaper, and it'll be on like Facebook or somewhere, and it'll be the article, and it'll be like Amy Schumer stuns with her beach body. And then it's a picture of Amy Schumer, and she looks as fat as she's ever looked. And she's like, bleh! And then and it is just clickbait. But it's a real news. It's not like it's some fucking, it'll be like a newspaper. It'll be like the Daily News or something.
Right.
And real publications are trolling like regularly. I saw this recently where they said, you know, somebody looks ageless. And it was a picture of this woman. She looked as old as she could ever fucking look.
They want you to be like,
they want you to click and they want you to engage. They want you to put a comment and say, no, she doesn't look this way.
Yeah, they want you to arguing.
Yeah.
But it's such a, like, it's soulless.
It's soulless.
It's truly,
it's
like, so there's so much of that and that's going on. But it's not even, and it's not just some fucking kid. It's not some kid trolling. It is a real publication.
It's like actual people getting journalists. Well,
it's bonkers.
I know, but it's the way the news,
I mean, there's money in it. You know? Yeah,
I know. That's exactly
it's sad. And it's actually crippling people's like,
You'll see it on Twitter a lot. There's these accounts that they'll ask like a provocative question. Mm-hmm. And they have all of these people now engaging with it. And engagement has become, it's definitely more valuable now than it was even a few years ago. But engagement's always been sort of the name of the game with the algorithms, right? I remember I had a thing with this chick named Nicole Arbour, who's like a Canadian comedian who's like, she's like a major troll. And she, like, we had a thing, a back and forth. And I was kind of looking at her Instagram and she was responding to every single comment, and it wasn't her, it was like her team, but even the haters, and then they'd respond to that, it
builds up the
and yeah. then she'd respond to that, and then they'd respond to that, and it would sometimes even just be an emoji and they'd like it, and it was like, it was so soulless. And you see with entertainers, usually they'll have a company that works for them, right? It'll be a company, a team that works for their social media. And Big J does this. I don't want to call out my buddy Big J. I love him. He's my brother. But Big J is not engaging with you guys on Instagram, just so you guys know. His company is fucking liking all your stuff and responding and giving you fucking devil horns. It's not him. But the company knows if they respond to every single one of them, it creates more engagement and he'll show up in other fucking algorithms.
Right.
And it's just so gross. And it's what you have to do. It's what real entertainers do. All of your favorite comedians do it.
Do you have to? You don't have
You don't really have to, because honestly, the ones that we respect don't do it. Dave Attell doesn't do it.
No.
Shane Gillis isn't doing it. Tim Dillon's not doing it.
Ellie Wong on there, you know, like starting. It's like something to do when you need.
For those who are climbing, they're at a stage in their career where they, you know, they're not quite up on this certain tune.
Yeah,
it's so something. You need
to... Well, I did it when my special came out. I responded to everything.
That's okay. You're responding.
It
to
sucked.
People, but
it was soulless, dude. It was like literally me being like, "Thanks, bro," and then copy and pasting, "Thanks, bro," and writing. Like, it was just such a soulless thing. Like social media for me, if I engage with somebody, it's because I'm genuinely engaging with them. And honestly, maybe because I'm on a flight and I want to engage that day and I want to go have a back and forth. There's a great scene. In the movie Never Been Kissed, Almost Famous, right? Do you guys remember that movie, Almost Famous? And the scene where he takes acid and then he goes to the house party with
the one kid, and he
jumps off the roof into the pool. I am the golden god, right? I remember when I was a young kid and I was like, if I was ever an entertainer, I was like, that's who I would be. I'd be the guy that shows up at the fucking house party and I would jump off the fucking roof on acid with these kids and I would give them the fucking story of their life, right? And that's what I think social media, that as an artist and an entertainer, that was sort of like the power of it. Was like, if I'm in the mood, I could fucking like literally just go engage with this fan base in a way where they're really close to us in a much different way than they ever had the ability to be close to us before. And when you remove it and you just turn it into this soulless thing where you're just responding to everybody, you're liking everybody's comment, you're like, dude, it's just not the magic. That's not why people were ever there. And when it becomes manipulating algorithms and who understands it, it's just kind of gross.
It is gross.
And
it,
that's what sucks about being like in entertainment, where it's like at this point, you have to be really good at that in order to sort of grow yourself as a business. And I said this to all of our producers. Gas Digital, this company's been around for like 8 years or 7 years, right? Like our producer, Shannon, back in the day, her job was to literally record, edit, post. Shannon has to sort of be a little bit of a social media expert now. She has to understand the AI technology that's coming out now. She has to understand how the algorithms on YouTube work. She has to understand how the censorship works on all these platforms. As a producer of a podcast, your job is completely different than it was even 5 years ago. It's a night and day difference.
I mean, it's like that. As a porn star, you know, it used to be the most important part of my job was
having sex,
was having anal sex. And now I have to like have anal sex and like make sure I post about it at the right time of the day.
Isn't that
and make
crazy?
Sure there's the right caption and make sure there's this and make sure there's that.
You're tagging things the right way. You're like, just fuck me in my ass already. For the love of God. I mean, it used to be just so much easier. I used to get fucked in my ass and now I have to do all this other stuff.
Right. And it's actually exhausting. And it also what can make it kind of mess with your boundaries is
they're gonna say bowels.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah. It's like it's social media is a 24/7 job. So at what point do you just say, that's enough for today? Like,
yeah,
I've done enough, you know, like it's so it can be this tough thing to structure. But
it's such a weird thing.
Ultimately, you can't let that take away from what ultimately people are following you for your craft. So if this is like taking up more time than you are spending on your craft, like that's not good.
It's just it's a weird, dark, like sort of area, right? Where social media on the surface seems like it's this helpful thing that connects everyone. It's like, and then when you peel apart a couple layers, and no matter what angle, whether it's from the person who's posting and trying to create content that gets seen, or if it's a person that's just utilizing the apps. Like it's all manipulative. It's all designed in a way to make you addicted. It's all to sell you something that's not really in front of you. Like it's all kind of shady. And I hate the fact that it's such an important part of my identity and personality and career. Like I really hate it. I have a 10-year-old son and I'm so happy he's not like addicted to his phone, but it's something that I'm going like, fuck dude, like, this next generation is going to be really tied into technology in a much different way. And they're being addicted in a much different way. You watch every little kid. I mean, they're at 3 years old. Their face is in their iPad or their phone. And on these really formative years where they're learning how to communicate, this is what they're being taught. And I think that it is, it's just kind of fucking, it's kind of scary. It's very like, what's that show? Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like you look at like the worst case scenarios and how sort of dark it all feels.
Well, that's at his stepdad's house.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. It's a very weird sort of time to be an entertainer because it was genuinely, and once again, we were
the last generation of people to grow up without phones. Yep. Really, when you think of it.
When it used to be that in entertainment, whatever you were creating, that was what you were supposed to do. If you're a musician, your job was to write a fucking hit song. If you're an actor, your job is to do a good job in this movie. Now you have to do a good job in that, plus be a great marketer, plus be good with the promo, plus sell yourself in all these other ways, mm-hmm. where the actual art or whatever the thing that brought you here is only one piece of the puzzle now. And that's, it's frustrating and it's annoying, but at the same time, it's like this is the world we live in, and if you want to get yourself out there, it's a really hard battle to do it without these tools.
And whereas it seems like it's easier, it's genuinely not any easier. Like before, it was like you just have to wait for the industry to pick you.
Yeah.
Now you have to be better because there's so many people that are just putting content out. So the cream rises to the top to a certain degree. You know, it's, and also I'm not even really complaining. The reality is this, like,
look,
I'm fucking blessed, dude.
You get to be a comedian full time. Do you know how many people would love to do that? You get to work in entertainment.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that is a charmed life.
It did change, right? Like it for sure changed from when I've been doing comedy for about 18 years.
And you could be that person that complains about the change, or you could just
love with it, baby. That's it, you know?
And if you sit there and complain, that's you might not be able to have the privilege of being an entertainer for a living, you know, then you might have to
entertainer. The role of entertainer has changed unquestionably. Yeah. The only thing that's changed more, I think, than entertainer is being a photographer. What a fucking useless job that's become. Isn't that a shame? I know so many great photographers that you're like, guys, it's just like you got to move on to another craft. I got to be honest with you. It ain't going to work.
They've all pivoted now to being like content creator people.
Right. They have
so
to do
it's
that.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I can film your TikTok. I can film your reel. Yeah. I can, but the cinematic sort of idea that we have had as a photographer and doing a whole shoot, it's shifted now to this content less, you know, and I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's just the way.
And some people have done, I mean, I've, you know, there's a lot of photographers, but a lot of those photographers that have shifted to that, they have a shitload of followers. Because they are, like, Instagram's this very visual platform. So I've discovered a lot of photographers on Instagram, and they have a ton of followers because they've managed to work with that with what's current now. But I feel like some of the old school guys have fallen off. Unless you actually had like a steady job, like working in Hollywood or working on music videos.
Every photographer that I know a lot of the is just a dude fella. That's angling to try to fuck a chick. Yeah. Every photographer that I've ever met, you're like, dude, what's your fucking end game here? You're just trying to fuck these chicks. I know what's going on here. Mm. They're all creepy dudes. All right, look, we're going to wrap this one up. You guys are the best. Seriously, you guys are fucking super cool. Nice, this was a lot of fun. Just the Tips podcast available right here on Gas Digital and iTunes and YouTube and everywhere you can get podcasts. Make sure you guys support both of these two, Joanna Angel Smallhands. You guys were fucking awesome. Genuinely great time on the show. Anytime you guys want to come on, please open invite.
Hell yeah.
And we will be back on Friday with an exclusive episode right here on the Gas Digital Network. Until then, good night.
Thank you.
That's all, folks.